Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news, recorded on Wednesday the 22nd of November. I'm Beth.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Phil.
And your sound engineer this week is Martin. And now Margaret will start us off with the news.
Disgruntled fans have complained of overcrowding at the Robert Plant gig, with some members of the audience collapsing in the heat and crush and others not being able to get into the Wolverhampton Civic Hall. Fan Scott Campbell said he was forced to stand in a side corridor, unable to get into the main hall, eventually giving up and going home. The 31-year-old advertising executive, who had travelled from Birmingham with two friends for the concert, was left feeling angry and disappointed. They'd each paid £55 for their tickets, plus booking fee and credit card fees. In the first 20 minutes, I saw six or seven people being carried out of the hall after collapsing. I go to a lot of concerts, but I've never seen anything like this, said Mr. Scott. There was a large team of St. John's ambulance people who were kept busy. We tried the balcony, but the only place to stand was behind a big pillar, which blocked our view. We left after half an hour because we couldn't see anything. He went on, there was a lot of people in their 60s in the audience. The conditions can't have been very good for them. I asked to see a manager because if there was a fire and you were in the middle of the hall, there was no way of getting out. She said the fire doors would be opened, but it looked to me as if they were already open. The hall held 3,000 people, but it looked to me as if they'd sold too many tickets. I've seen Robert Plant before, but I was looking forward to seeing him in his home turf. I've not been to the Civic for a gig before, and I don't think I'll go again after that experience. Venue staff received a number of complaints following the concert on Monday night. Civic Hall spokesman John Penny said, "We are aware of the complaints and we're looking into them."
Cash-strapped Walsall Manor Hospital had to fork out more than £250,000 on translators last year, nearly double the amount spent the previous year. Punjabi, Polish, Arabic and Romanian are among the most commonly requested services, although bosses also have to bring in people to perform sign language for deaf patients. Bengali, Urdu, Slovak, Gujarati and Hungarian are also frequently required. Walsall Healthcare National Health Service Trust spent £296,815 on translation services in 2016/17. Compared to sums between £153,000 and £157,000 in the three previous years. Although they said the substantial increase last year included paying invoices for the previous 12 months after the provider for the service changed hands, whilst they also stated the translation service is more in demand because it is being promoted more. A trust spokeswoman said the NHS Constitution and the Equality Act 2010 require that the healthcare services are accessible to everyone who is eligible to use them, and that no members of the community are disadvantaged. It is important that patients understand what it is they are consenting to and any impact on risks involved. It is not appropriate for our clinical staff, patients, relatives, to translate information to or from patients. It is not just issues with languages that lead patients to use the service. We also provide interpreters for people with hearing and sight difficulties. The Trust's overall financial position originally forecasted a £20.5 million overspend against its budget this year. Although the latest performance reports reveal they are already off that target by spending £1.872 million more than planned in the first 6 months of the year. Now they have conceded the allocation of funding for translators would have to be more in line with demand. In relation to the significant increase in costs in 2016/17, the Trust spokeswoman added, "This partly reflects the accounting and invoicing process from our previous supplier. Some of the payments made in the financial year 2016-17 was for work undertaken in 2015/16. In response to feedback, we have had more widely promoted the service and so are experiencing increasing demand. The data we received from our new contractor has also helped us identify gaps in the service, which we have been able to address, and we are seeing increases in demand in those areas too. The Trust is heading for a £20 million black hole against its budget this year.
The heartbroken partner of missing man Matthew Gill today made a fresh appeal for the crucial link that will help find him. The 43-year-old vanished 6 weeks ago and has not been seen since. His partner, Annette Woodhouse, said friends and family were determined to keep the focus on the search as Christmas approaches. It comes as King's Winford truck firm JJX Logistics put a huge missing poster on the side of one of its lorries to help in the hunt for Mr. Gill, also known as Leggy. Annette, who is 45, said, "It's just getting that one link, isn't it? That one bit of information that shows us which way he went." She dubbed the move by JJX Logistics, based on the Pensnet trading estate, as overwhelming. "For us, it's just getting it out there for as many people to see as possible. The more people that see it, the more chance there is of us finding him. The next few weeks up to Christmas, we're going around the Christmas markets. We did the Birmingham one. It was good, but it was very upsetting because we stopped and spoke to a lot of homeless people to try and see where they go. I think there's over 9,000 people on the Facebook site now. It's just keeping everybody's information together and keeping it moving forward. I know it's coming up to Christmas. People have other commitments, but it's just keeping the awareness out there. We haven't had any positive sightings of yet. He could be anywhere in 6 weeks. Think how far you can walk in a day. He could be anywhere out there. JJX, what they're doing is getting that word out on a national scale. If you see the truck around, I just hope this is where somebody spots him and can just call it in. John, the owner of JJX, is a close friend of my dad's. I just think it's brilliant what they're doing. It's overwhelming." Transport coordinator Ellis Blackham, 19, and JJX founder John Donovan, 50, said JJX will also look at the possibilities of extending the search to Europe. Company founder Mr. Donovan said, "That will be covering the whole of the UK. We might even send it to Europe. You've just got to keep it out there until something is found." Matthew Gill, who is described as white, 5'10" tall and of medium build, and had short cropped hair when he went missing. Anyone with information is urged to contact the Locate team on 01902 649 150 or the Missing Persons Charity on 116 000.
Saba Douglas Hamilton is raising eyebrows at West Midlands Safari Park by waxing lyrical about the M6 motorway, which she describes as a total delight compared with the highways in her native Africa. "It's such a pleasant, relaxing experience. In Kenya, you're never far from instant death on the roads, from potholes, animals or other drivers," she laughs. The elephant conservationist and TV presenter stopped off in Bewdley to meet its small elephant family during a UK-wide tour promoting her work with elephants in Africa. Her first job after leaving St Andrews University in Scotland with a master's degree in social anthropology was with the Save the Rhino Trust in Namibia, and she went on to work in academia before joining STE as Chief Operations Officer. It was here she was talent spotted by the BBC and has since presented several wildlife series, including Secret Life of Elephants, Unknown Africa and Big Cat Diary. She currently runs the family luxury tented eco lodge, Elephant Watch Camp, started by her mother, Oria, a pioneer in conservation tourism, which offers holidaymakers the chance to live under canvas, observing wildlife at close range. In between times, she lectures extensively to raise awareness about conservation issues. Her message is simple: elephants are in crisis. As an experiment in 2008, 117 tonnes of stockpiled ivory was sold to China and Japan for £11.4 million, in the expectation it would cause the value of the ivory to crash. But the move backfired badly. It opened the floodgates for illegal trade, said Saba, age 47. In the ongoing second elephant holocaust, populations across Africa have shrunk by a third, driven by the value of ivory, which can sell for around £850 a kilo in China. It's been a very bleak period, she said. We've all jumped on board, but the decline has been utterly overwhelming. So on this tour, it's my job to get people to connect with elephants and fall in love with them, and feel they are part of the elephant world. They are such social animals. They need love and security. They're intelligent and self-aware. They feel grief and compassion. Already on board is retired 7'6" Chinese basketball player Yeo Ming, who is doing his bit to wean his fellow countrymen off their love of ivory, and around Prince William. Saba says the Duke of Cambridge has been a number one emissary for us. She finds it difficult to reconcile the Brits' love of domestic pets with their general lack of awareness of what's happening to wild animals in the natural world. My mother always said if she ever comes back, it would like to be an English dog because they're so well looked after. And she recognises that places like the West Midlands Safari Park and Dudley Zoo can be controversial. Some are awful places, but others really do help with the conservation cause. In a cared-for environment, she said, animals are ambassadors for their species, raising awareness for their brothers and sisters in the wild. Saba Douglas Hamilton will be speaking about her work at Birmingham Town Hall on Wednesday, the 23rd of November.
Food hygiene issues at the scandal-hit Two Sisters chicken plant in Sandwell are not a one-off, according to MPs, who have branded the firm's past record far from pristine. A parliamentary inquiry was launched into the plant in West Bromwich after undercover filming reveal poor hygiene standards and food safety records being altered. Last month, Two Sisters boss, Bilston-born Ranjit Singh Bhoparan, apologised for alleged food safety breaches, but insisted that there was no culture of cost-cutting at the site. The problems identified at the Two Sisters plants at West Brom are not a one-off. The past record of the Two Sisters food group is far from pristine, and there are valid questions to be asked of its corporate governance structure. Committee Chairman Neil Parrish said the inquiry should serve as a wake-up call for firms and cause them to improve their processes and remove any loopholes that may exist. Food supply chains are sensitive and easy to disrupt when retailers and consumers lose confidence in food quality or safety. He added, large producers and retailers have a responsibility to protect rather than undermine the UK's food producers. Production at the factory was temporarily shut down after an undercover reporter working at the site claimed to witness a host of prohibited practices. They included workers tampering with slaughter dates, mixing meat of different ages, and changing source codes on crates of meat, all of which can artificially extend the product's shelf life and make it untraceable in the event of an outbreak of food poisoning. The report said Mr. Bhoparan wrote to the committee on November the 10th to confirm commitments he made during his hearing, including placing a full-time food safety inspector at all of his plants. He has also committed to inviting the committee to visit a Two Sisters food group plant, installing CCTV with complete coverage in all plants within 120 days, and putting mystery workers into all factories by the end of January next year to identify any employees breaking the site rules. Mr. Parrish added, it is important that consumers in both the UK and in our vital export markets feel confident in the quality of our food standards. We have made it clear that we take his assurances very seriously. We will closely monitor their implementation. Sandwell Council, which has responsibility for food labelling in the borough, has vowed to review its inspection procedures in the wake of the scandal.
Two men who threw £2,000 worth of drugs from a speeding car while trying to escape from police were starting prison sentences totalling over 8 years today. Michael Cunningham and his friend Sean Gardner fled after their blue Ford Fiesta was blocked in by police, who had been on the lookout for the vehicle after it was tagged as linked to drug dealing, Wolverhampton Crown Court heard. The police car blocked its exit from Cartwright Street, All Saints, but as one of the officers got out to question the occupants, Cunningham threw the Fiesta into reverse and sped away in the wrong direction down the one-way street, explained Mr. Josh Schooler, prosecuting. The car reached up to 83 miles per hour in a 40 limit during a frantic attempt to outpace the pursuing patrol car, but was finally stopped in the Goldthorn Park area of Wolverhampton. Members of the public had seen items being hurled from the vehicle as it raced down Drayton Road in Blakenhall earlier in the chase and handed them to officers after the pursuit ended. The packages contained a total of 82 street deals of heroin and cocaine, along with three cling film parcels of drugs, continued Mr. Schooler. A lock knife belonging to Cunningham was found hidden in the driver's footwell of the Fiesta after the lunchtime chase on October the 12th. More drugs and around £5,000 in cash were discovered during a subsequent search of Gardner's family home. Cunningham was the subject of a suspended sentence for producing cannabis when the chase took place, while Gardner had a dozen previous convictions involving 24 separate offences, four of which were drug-related. The 34-year-old had turned to street dealing in a bid to pay off £4,000 worth of debts and fines after losing his taxi driving job, said Mr. Oliver Woolhouse, defending, who explained he was given a chance to get out of the hole he was in and very foolishly took it. Father of one Cunningham confessed, "I was in financial difficulty and was paid to drive. I knew what I was doing." The 24-year-old from Broad Lanes in Bilston and Gardner of Silver Birch Road in Parkfields both pleaded guilty to possession of heroin and cocaine with intent to supply. Cunningham further admitted dangerous driving, possession of a knife, and breaking the terms of a suspended sentence. He was jailed for 4 years, 5 months, with a 2-year driving ban on release, while Gardner was locked up for 3 years and 9 months. Recorder Stephen Thomas told them, "Neither of you had a drug addiction. You were street dealing purely for money and threw £2,000 worth of drugs into the street during the police pursuit."
Nearly £4 million was spent by schools across Dudley, employing agency staff in just 12 months, with one agency being paid more than £1 million. The figures follow a Freedom of Information request, which revealed expenditure on casual workers across primary, secondary and special schools in the borough from 2015 to 16. Casual workers were brought in to cover sickness absences and maternity leave to ensure children didn't miss lessons. A total of £3.8 million was spent across the borough. Around £1.2 million was spent on agency staff from First for Education Limited, based in Stourbridge. Other highest paid agencies include ABC Teachers Limited, £440,000, and Monarch Education at £322,000. The lowest spend went to Balfour Recruitment Limited at £435. It comes as FOI revealed that £2.4 million was spent on agency staff across the borough from September 2014 to February 2015. Schools in Dudley control their own budgets and decide when agency staff need to be brought in. Abdul Qadus, a former member of the Children's Board at Dudley Council, said he was shocked by the figures. He added, "These figures do shock me. It appears that we are becoming an agency culture and it isn't good. Millions of pounds are being spent, and when I was a governor, I questioned this. It is quite concerning, but seems a general pattern. If they had proper full-time staff, then I feel money would be better spent than having agency teachers, which can be confusing for the children. Meanwhile, in Sandwell, it was revealed last month that more than £5 million was spent by schools in just 12 months. Information issued with the FOI revealed the figures given are not necessarily an accurate reflection of the amount spent on supply staff as schools use the budget to employ full-time cover supervisors. Some of the figures will include the costs of permanent staff who are employed by schools but who are paid on a casual basis to deliver holiday, evening and weekend work. Councillor Anne Millward, Cabinet Member for Children's Services, said, "It is important to note that this is money spent by schools and not by the council directly. Supply costs generally have increased and will vary from year to year, depending on the issues faced by schools in relation to teacher absence. Many schools have insurance schemes that help offset the high level of supply costs, particularly when teachers are absent for an extended period. As a council, we would always advise schools that supply teachers should only be used as a last resort."
Work gathers pace on the £6.3 million Pensnet Road Scheme. Temporary three-way traffic lights are to remain in place in Pensnet until the week before Christmas, as critical work on the £6.3 million road improvement scheme continues. Birds Meadow and Bradley Street will also remain closed at respective road junctions with High Street. The lights will remain in operation at the junction of High Street and High Oak, with drivers warned to expect delays and advised to seek alternative routes. These temporary lights are required to facilitate essential gas, electric and water improvements and diversion works, with the aim to complete all utility works by the end of the year. In addition, motorists will not be able to turn right into Tansey Green Road from this week, with water connection works on the road expected to be taking place for the next few weeks. Traffic will be diverted via Dreadnought Road. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for the Environmental Services, said, "We are now entering a critical stage of this work improvement scheme, and while there will be a lot of work going on, there will inevitably be disruption to journeys. We ask motorists to bear with us while the work is carried out and to seek alternative routes where possible. The £6.3 million roads improvement scheme in Pensnet will see two new sets of traffic lights on the High Street and the junctions with High Oak and Tansey Green Road. This will ease congestion and make it safer for turning traffic. The road will be widened along the High Street for two lanes to be introduced in both directions at the new traffic lights, while there will also be additional pedestrian crossings."
Cash confiscated from loan sharks will be used to reward people who save through a credit union in a Black Country borough. Castle and Crystal Credit Union, which is supported by Dudley Council, has launched the scheme to encourage people to start saving this festive period while also making them aware of the dangers of getting involved with loan sharks. The first 50 people to join the credit union and save a minimum of £10 per month for the first 3 months will get a £25 saving boost directly into their account. The cash will come from money confiscated from convicted loan sharks at court under the Proceedings of Crime Act, with the initiative being run jointly with the England Illegal Money Lending Team. Chiefs said they hope this will encourage residents to build up savings for Christmas and prevent more people from having to turn to a loan shark to borrow emergency cash. The scheme is only available to residents living in the council wards of Upper Gornal and Woodseton, Coseley, Kings Winford, Walheath and Wordsley. It has been backed by the Dudley Mayor, Councillor Dave Tyler, who has opened an account and will donate the £25 to his three mayoral charities, Dudley Mind, the YMCA Black Country Group and the Dudley branch of the Alzheimer's Society. Councillor Peter Miller, Cabinet Member for Health and Wellbeing, said, "Loan sharks often target low-income and desperate families, preying on struggling individuals and exploiting them for personal financial gain. We're really pleased to have the support of the England Illegal Money Lending Team and are committed to ensuring people in need have an alternative to loan sharks and illegal lenders in their local community. Local people will greatly benefit from this scheme. It will help them to establish a healthy savings pattern as well as benefit from the many credit union services available to members." Tony Quigley, Head of Service for the England Illegal Money Lending Team, said, "We are pleased to be working with Castle and Crystal Credit Union to launch this new incentive, which will see loan sharks' cash being put to good use to sponsor new credit union accounts. Loan sharks can have a horrific impact on our communities and should never be used under any circumstances. A loan shark is someone who lends money without the correct authorisation from the Financial Conduct Authority. An estimated 310,000 households nationally are borrowing from illegal moneylenders, many of whom charge exorbitant rates of interest to trap people into a spiral of debt. For more details about Castle and Crystal Credit Union, call 01384 815 771, drop in at the branch in 25 New Street in Dudley, or visit castleandcrystal, and that's all one word, .co.uk.
A cannabis farm was unexpectedly uncovered during a crackdown on the sale of illegal tobacco by police and trading standards. A haul of more than 50,000 illegal or counterfeit cigarettes, as well as the surprise find of around 1,000 cannabis plants, were seized during raids by Dudley Council's Trading Standards team and West Midlands Police using trained tobacco detection dogs. In the joint operation, the raids were carried out at properties in Dudley, Briley Hill and Hales Owen, along with a routine inspection in Stourbridge. At three of the properties, they discovered the tobacco, while at the Dudley premises, three floors of cannabis plants were found. Councillor Peter Miller, Cabinet Member for Health and Wellbeing, said, "Through joint operations with partners and our own investigations, we are working hard to stop the sale of illegal cigarettes across the borough. Well, our day of action was targeted at finding illegal tobacco. At one of the properties, a large number of cannabis plants were found, which the police are investigating. Selling illegal tobacco is a crime, and offenders need to know that they will face consequences if they choose to deal in illegal products. While all smoking is harmful, illegal tobacco is sold at low prices and without the necessary health warnings, which makes it easier for children and young smokers to get hooked on smoking. Following the raids, the council intends to prosecute those responsible for the supply and sale of illegal tobacco." Dudley Neighbourhood Police Sergeant Adam Revell added, "Working in partnership with Trading Standards, we want to crack down on the sale of illegal or counterfeit tobacco. Our successful action not only took out more than 50,000 out of circulation, but led to the discovery of more than 1,000 cannabis plants, which we are currently investigating."
A firm has been fined £390,000 and ordered to pay £24,000 in costs after a welder was crushed by a 2.8-tonne cylinder at their factory. Andrew King was known to be doing a potentially dangerous job when the disaster struck, but the Angle Ring Company had not prepared a risk assessment for it, Wolverhampton Crown Court heard. The 36-year-old was using a propane lamp to weld plates onto the cylinder when it tipped forward and fell on him at the Bloomfield Road Tipton Works on November the 11th, 2014. It fractured his left leg in three places and lacerated the right leg, but the injuries could have been far worse if the post of a submerged arc welder had not inadvertently halted the cylinder's movement and prevented his full weight from landing on the victim. The court was told, Mr. King, who had worked at the firm for 4 years, said later, "I remember welding and the next thing I was pinned back. I shouted for help and felt blood inside my welding visor." He was off work for 9 months and is still suffering psychologically. And he concluded, "I feel like my life has been on hold since it happened." The cylinder had to be rotated during the welding and rested on 2 sets of wheel rotators, which were not secured. It was important that if it remained centrally aligned, but there was an acknowledged danger if it moving forward during the process. This was highly likely, but Mr. King had not been warned about the possibility, said Mr. Harpreet Sandhu, prosecuting on behalf of the Health and Safety Executive, who had published a circular giving guidance on the dangers of creep 6 months before the accident. He continued, "There should have been a site-specific risk assessment for this piece of hazardous work. The risk was known about and the ramifications were entirely foreseeable. The accident could have been prevented by anti-creep devices that have since been installed by the 66-year-old specialist steel bending firm that employs 88 staff. Mr. James Buchanan, representing the company, conceded that there had been not been a specific risk assessment for the job, but added, "All those responsible for welding were aware of the issue of creep and each had put in place controls to manage it." He argued that this explained why there had not been a similar accident. The company, which had previous conviction for health and safety breach, pleaded guilty to failing to ensure the health and welfare of an employee. Judge Barry Berlin said Mr. King could have been killed. The company failed to follow the most rudimentary precaution for potentially hazardous work by not producing a risk assessment when there was an obvious danger of creepage. It fell far short of the required safety standard.
And with that final news item from Phil, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Beth.
Bye-bye from Margaret.
And goodbye from Phil.